Welcome to At Home with Kelly and Tiffany, where naturally minded women gather together as we pursue simplicity and confidence in health alternatives so we can show up better in our busy lives and feel more at home in our bodies. Join your favorite home birth midwife duo for conversation, candor, and community.
I love that you are at home with us.
I hope you're at home right now, but maybe you're not at home. Maybe you are just metaphorically at home while you listen out of your home.
That's what I want this podcast to feel like. You just, you're so comfy at home with your friends, talking about some things.
Oh, I have something to process before I forget.
Great.
Because we haven't talked about this in person yet, and I just feel like it may or may not help a listener, and it is completely off topic, which I figured would be perfect to share.
My favorite.
You do know the first part. We have a raccoon problem.
Not a good problem to have.
And we have a million backyard chickens, so you can see where this is going. And the other day, I went outside and I had a headless chicken, which is very indicative of a raccoon. They just rip heads off of chickens. They just reach in to the chicken enclosure. I don't even know how they convince the chicken to let it rip its head off, but they do.
Come here.
Yeah.
I just want to pet you.
Tiny little hands. So disgusting.
Oh, they're the worst.
Anyway, I was sad about the chicken. I was glad it was only one of them. But mostly I was like, this is a complete waste. At least a coyote would have eaten the whole thing and we could go on with the circle of life.
It's kind of like when hunters go and hunt, but they're not going to eat the stuff they hunt. You're like, well, if you're going to like kill the thing, eat the thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's like raccoons are moral-less, I've discovered. Okay, so we have had chickens now for almost 5 years. We have never had a predator problem. So I am ruffled, pun intended. And so we left our bedroom door open the second night so that if there was anything amiss, we were like, how on earth did one of our chickens get their head pulled off and we didn't hear something? Sometimes they get all clucky in the middle of the night and I have to go out there and throw things at the coop so they shut up. I just couldn't believe I didn't hear the head coming off part, which also the head's gone. There's no head to be found. It took it and ate it or something.
Or brought it back to its friends, like holding it by its head. Look what I have done.
Ugh.
Moralist.
Okay, so at some point in the middle of the night, okay, it's not some point. It is 3:00 in the morning. Last night, there sounds like a little child screaming outside. And my husband whacks me while I'm waking up. And he's like, that's the chickens. And we both jump up and fly out of our slider that goes into our backyard. And we're in our pajamas. My husband has only underwear on. And we go out there and I'm just making a bunch of noise just to get the screaming to stop. Because at this point, I'm not really even sure exactly what it is. I'm just assuming a raccoon. And we're looking on the fence and trying to see if we can see what it is. And everything is kind of quiet. So we're like, okay, maybe we scared it off. My husband, smart man, he was like, we should go get a flashlight. So, of course, the only flashlight I have in my possession is on my phone. I have to go all the way back inside, grab shoes and my cell phone. And then when I'm coming outside, he's in the garage loading the BB gun. That is his solution.
Yes.
This man is like thinking on his feet in the middle of the night. And all of a sudden, I'm kind of afraid. I'm like, you're gonna shoot something? And he's like, absolutely.
I'm going to shoot this moralist creature.
So I'm going to look at the chickens to see for sure this noise has produced a dead chicken. Like, you can't have that level of screaming and not end up with another massacre, you know? But we don't see any of the predators anywhere. And so my husband has a BB gun and I'm just shining the flashlight, but I'm acting like a little girl, you know, because I'm like, I don't want to find dead chicken and I don't want to find the thing that's trying to eat my chickens either. But then we do see the raccoon that like dart behind the coop and it gets partway up a tree and is looking at us like a little dum-dum raccoon. And my husband shot it in the face. And it fell down off the tree. And I was like, well, now are we going to have a dead raccoon? And he's like, no, there's no, we can't kill a raccoon with BBs. And I'm like, what? Why, what are we doing? So he just wanted to scare it. So then it did eventually get up and run out of our yard. But this was like an 80-pound raccoon that we shot in its face. Hopefully it does not come back. But so, long story short, I have spent the entire day fortifying the coop and just getting every single possible little area that raccoon hands could get inside covered and patched up. But the part that I think you're going to like the best is our friend Sandra asked me, hey, how can I be praying for you this week? And I'm like, this sounds so stupid, but I'm actually really worried about this. And she's like, oh, we had a raccoon problem too. You know what you do? Coyote urine. And I'm like, oh, that's fascinating. Please tell me more. There's a place online that you can buy bottles, jugs, gallons of coyote urine. And you have to acquire this coyote urine. So it's coyotes who are in captivity for whatever reason, and they urinate on grates, and then they collect the urine underneath them and they sell it to people like me who need to, you know, get rid of raccoons, or, you know, what is that called?
Pests.
Yeah.
Vermin.
Yeah, so the it smells so bad in my yard that even a raccoon that eats trash doesn't want to be in it.
I love the ingenuity of people, and to monetize urine from a coyote, I can get behind that. I can 100% get behind that. I was on a duck Facebook group researching, as one does, and somebody was like, I just let my husband pee around the coop every so often. And everybody was like, no, that's, nope, human pee is not going to actually work because they're not afraid of humans. They don't care. They know specifically what kind of animal is terrifying. And that makes sense that it's a coyote. Like, they've marked their territory, and a raccoon's like, well, I'm not going to win that one.
Yeah.
Well, raccoons are terrible.
They're the worst.
Yeah.
But coyotes are top of the food chain.
Here we go.
I want that top of the food chain urine, and I want it delivered to my home.
In 2 days or less. Is it on Amazon?
I'm not sure about Amazon, but I will share with you because I've been laughing about this all day. All you have to do is go to thepmart.com.
Oh, the PMart.
Yeah.
And you could probably get all types of pee.
I bet you can, but I have not looked it up because I don't want to barf all over myself.
Somebody was telling us when we moved into our house, there's a certain type of, we still have a bunch of gophers, but we had a ridiculous amount of gophers when we first moved in. Somebody was telling us some animal, it was like deer urine or something.
I believe it.
I was like, this is stupid.
Another thing that freaks out gophers or deters them, supposedly, is blood.
Especially the blood of their brethren.
I don't know. We're working on that
yep.
big time. Thankfully, our cat has been taking care of our gophers like crazy.
So good.
And then we don't know that there's just a dead gopher massacred in our yard until our sweet dog goes and picks it up and brings it to us, tries to take credit for it.
And but you're just, like, there's no way.
There's no way. You can't catch a gopher. I've seen you trying to dig holes. There's no gopher alive that can't get away from you, you dumb dog. So there's some pest control that is already built in.
That's great. Keep us posted when you order your coyote urine.
I'm going to have to because I need to be equipped for this. We can't have more headless chickens. They don't lay eggs, the dead ones.
No, that is not helpful. Maybe I'll go in on that with you. Coyote urine is probably in high demand.
Should I buy in bulk and we'll just split it?
Probably, okay. Actually.
Like all the things in our life we do. Oh, wait, so back to the gophers.
Yes.
This will terrify people. There's some people listening to this, the first part of this episode.
They've already turned it off.
And they're like, this is the absolute worst episode you guys have ever
I just want to hear about how to help my hemorrhoids, and here we are.
Oh, so sad. I'm sorry, guys. Okay, but I have dumped my menstrual cup down gopher holes before.
Oh, blood.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Can't say if it works or not because I just haven't been very disciplined with that, if you can imagine.
But it was enjoyable.
I was like, take that, you gophers.
gophers. Great.
All right.
I appreciate you sharing. I want to also share. My husband texted me this morning about an hour and a half, maybe, after Tiffany shared the quick overview of what happened overnight. And he tried to share, because Tiffany's husband shared with my husband, oh, I shot a raccoon with a BB gun in the middle of the night. I'm kind of lagging today because it was hard for me to get back to sleep, all that. So my husband thought that he was going to break the news to me that something happened in your chicken coop. And I was like, I appreciate you sharing. I think that you probably know by now you can't break Tiffany news to me.
There's no Tiffany news that can be broken. Yeah. Unless I'm trying to surprise you with something. That's the only time that I think Trevor knows something about anything before you do.
That's great. That is great. Okay, and then another thing, before we start talking about what we're actually going to talk about, I wanted to share about, this is kind of, sounds kind of random, but it goes into the whole health idea of simplifying some things. A toothpaste that we used on and off a while ago, and then I got back on the train because it now is on Amazon, and that just makes my life a lot more easy. But it is a, we tried to go fluoride free years ago, right? We were like, okay, fluoride, we probably want to stay away from that. We're going to talk in a second about fluoride and all the things that it can kind of affect in your body. But I started following this holistic dentist on Instagram who influenced me in so many ways, including like mouth taping and all kinds of like deep dives into my husband's snoring and all kinds of stuff. But he was sharing, it's not enough to actually go fluoride free. You actually need an active ingredient that replaces the fluoride in order to prevent cavities, reverse cavities, potentially reduce some sensitivity, things like that, that fluoride can do for people. But because fluoride can wreak some havoc on your system, there's this alternative that's called hydroxyapatite. And we actually Googled to make sure I was saying that correctly, because I've only ever read the word hydroxyapatite. So that is the active ingredient in this toothpaste. And it has been really fascinating because I grew up, as probably most people did, with like toothpaste that foam. And that was what made me feel like it was working, right? And this does not foam. So that's something to like really wrap your brain around. You're like, yes, I am cleaning and doing a good thing. And you also don't rinse it after you're done, which I have messed up on that many times as I was getting used to it, because that's just like the rhythm, right? You brush your teeth and then you rinse it out. But it is an incredible natural alternative to fluoride toothpaste and to fluoride free toothpaste. What you need is this active ingredient to actually do the things, can remineralize your teeth. And my daughter had this crazy jaw infection a few years ago that like messed with a ton of stuff in her mouth. She had a lot of things pulled, a lot of things had to be cleansed, and she's had really sensitive gums since then. But since using this toothpaste, she has not at all. And so there's a couple brands that offer something similar. The one that we landed on and that we liked the most in particular, because it's like not an overwhelming flavor, I guess, is called Boca. So it's B-O-K-A. We'll link it in the show notes. It is a great option that we have been enjoying.
That's what we use too.
Yeah.
I just recently went on like a dental overhaul.
Yep.
Because there was a period of time where we were not diligent with our cleaning. Then I read a book about holistic dentistry and I was like, oh man, mainstream dentistry is a sham like we have never seen before. If you think the medical system is a disaster, oh my word, that's going to be a whole different episode, I promise you. So then we stopped buying into it, but then I'm like, well, we're still getting cavities because we're not doing anything better.
Right.
And so getting on Ask the Dentist protocol, we're like doing oral probiotics, we've got our Boca toothpaste, we're doing some flossing and rinsing, we've got these little mineralizing chews that actually taste like candy. My kids love them. And he has got some really stellar suggestions. We'll put it in the show notes for you guys. What flavor do your kids like for the Boca brand?
Element. It's like just the mint one. We've tried different like flavors, and I think that none of us are into a flavored toothpaste that's not just mint. And it's not an overwhelming mint either. It's a little hug kind of mint for a year.
mouth. The thing is that the toothpaste that foam, they foam because they have detergent in them.
Yes, there's an entire deep dive that we can do. And basically what ends up happening is it's similar to deodorant that like our mouths kind of get addicted to it, right? And our oral hygiene matters so much. What's going on in your mouth impacts so much of what's going on in the rest of your body. And so throwing things like antibacterial mouthwash, killing off all the good bacteria along with the bad, that causes problems. So many things. So throwing it out, that is one step that you can take. Another step that you got me into is tongue scraping. It's very satisfying. I've just figured out we need an entire episode about mouth stuff, but that dentist that you can find his handle in the show notes has an entire recommended products, has a whole protocol. If you're somebody who struggles with like chronic cavities or anything like that, an entire protocol that you can purchase about remineralizing and like undoing a ton of things, healing from root canals and all kinds of stuff.
It's amazing. So we will do another episode. We have just decided, just on holistic dentistry, holistic dental care. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep working on the title, you guys, but we will. And so before we jump into our information that we promised that we were going to share today, and we will, let's talk really quickly about side effects of fluoride, because some people might be listening and be like, what is that actually a problem? Fluoride is in so many things besides just dental products and dental things. I mean, oh my gosh, as a kid, I was given fluoride tablets. That was a part of our dental care, is chewing on these fluoride tablets every single day.
Were they red or something? Were they a color?
I think they were purple.
Yeah, I remember. I did the same. I remember it being a color of some kind.
Yeah, they tasted like grape. And, you know, kids are stupid, so I ate a bunch one day and got sick off of them. Hmm. And then ever since then, I do not do grape flavor.
It's probably for the best.
Fun fact about midwife Tiff. Okay, side effects of fluoride. Arthritis. Bone fractures. This is explaining a lot. Kidney problems. Your IQ, or your child's IQ, if you have fluoride toxicity while you were pregnant. Cancer, infertility, kidney problems, diabetes, gastrointestinal problems, thyroid, endocrine disorders.
It is crazy what we have been told is very normal and actually good for us. I am certain that in whatever, a decade or two or whatever, we're going to look back and be like we look at people who put lead in kids' toys and paint and whatever. We're just like, what are you thinking, right? That wasn't smart. And we're going to look back and be like, duh, yep, missed the mark with that one. And you mentioned thyroid too. That's one of the things that we talk about we talked about thyroid last week in our podcast. And that's one of the things that we tell clients about. It's like, pull that piece out because it will mess with your system.
Yeah. And so the processed food, water, pesticides, pharmaceutical medications, Teflon cookware, that all has fluoride in it. And this blew my mind. I learned this for the first time yesterday. Mechanically deboned meat, like chicken strips, chicken nuggets, those kinds of things, those end up with fluoride in them because of the aggressive way that the bone is pulled, and if it's not an organic cut, then there's fluoride inside of the bone itself, which I'm
great
not into.
That's so great. I'm so happy to hear that.
So we need to even be buying organic chicken nuggets, everybody.
Yes, absolutely. If you take one thing away, organic chicken nugs. But that is one of the reasons that you need this alternative also, right? So we try to pull back all of these things and then actually flip it with a healthier alternative. Yep.
Let's talk about varicosities.
Let's do it. Unfortunately, that is a common issue that we deal with with our pregnant clients, but you don't have to be pregnant in order to deal with any of these issues, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, the reason that we see it so often in pregnancy is because your hormones are going crazy. They're trying to help you in their craziness. Relaxin is like the number one hormone in pregnancy that just lets everything kind of relax, essentially. The point is that ligaments, bones, tendons, muscles all kind of give way for the pelvis to literally take on an incredible amount of softness and movement to purposefully let our babies through. That's a really important part of how pregnancy prepares our bodies. But for some women, it also means losing some vein structure integrity, and that can come up as varicose veins on their legs, varicose veins on their vulva. I consulted with a woman a couple of weeks ago who had varicose veins inside her vagina.
That's just not fair.
Ouch. So unfair and really fascinating to pick that apart with her a little bit. And hemorrhoids are also considered a varicosity. So it's just a relaxation of the blood vessel that pools with blood and ends up creating a bulge, which is uncomfortable, and blood flow is kind of impeded, and that creates some discomfort also. And you can have all of those going on at once because sometimes this issue is kind of systemic. And it can happen in pregnancy. That's the most common place that we see it, but it can continue on into postpartum time for quite some time. Some women never have their varicose veins fully resolved. Their blood volume expansion is over, and so they don't have that pressure, that blood volume pressure on their veins anymore, but they still have these really relaxed and destructured veins in their legs and such, which is not uncomfortable for them necessarily anymore, but kind of unsightly.
Yeah, it becomes a bother in however many ways. So what is a lady to do who is dealing with this, whether it is causing her discomfort or not? What are like the general things that we tend to recommend to women in this space?
Circulation is a really big thing. So there is some talk out there on, can you prevent or reverse this? And we'll get into that. But if you're dealing with it in the moment, you have to support circulation. And so that means taking at least a 30-minute brisk walk every day, not sitting or standing for prolonged periods of time, and then spending some portion of the day, especially if you're pregnant, I would say 15 to 30 minutes would be ideal, with your legs elevated above your heart, especially if that's what's going on for you in your legs. But even if it's pelvis related, I would still get that blood flow getting out of your legs and back into circulation. You can also enjoy magnesium lotion, Epsom salt baths. You can take arnica as a homeopathy, either internally or externally. Those are all things that go, that help women across the board. If you are dealing with any kind of varicosity, those are recommendations to follow.
Yeah, that's like the foundational pieces. And then everything else we recommend is sort of on top of that. So that's something to take into account of like, okay, this is my new rhythm for my life right now, is I'm walking, I'm sitting in this position for a while, I'm using this magnesium, that kind of stuff daily. Other things that you can think about starting to add in, depending on your specific symptoms, would be things for actual physical support. So sometimes because of that looseness, a bit of counter pressure back onto the space can feel somewhat good and can help actually encourage some circulation as well. So things like support stockings, if you go, you could, there's a million different brands out there, compression leggings, those kinds of things. There are also actual like pelvic girdle support belts. They unfortunately, they are not sexy whatsoever. They look sort of like a female jock strap, but women put them on and they're like, oh yes. It's basically like cupping your hands on your vulva and just, you know, giving some pressure back, but just all day while you wear it. And on top of that, whatever you are wearing, loose kind of breathable clothing, not anything that's going to restrict some of that blood flow. So none of those, like no super tight leggings or even underwire bras that are maybe too tight or something too.
Absolutely. And then you can go into topical support. So what should you put on these things? horse chestnut is an herb that's made into a cream or a salve. And that is probably one of the most supportive pieces for varicose veins. Comfrey or mullein compresses are also great. And so you can buy these herbs and just pour hot water over them and get something soaked inside of it. Like, I don't know, a washcloth is probably the easiest thing, and just create your own compress and put it on top of your veins. Baking soda paste can be made for itch relief. So just literally mixing baking soda with water and putting it on any itchy spots, including your hemorrhoids. That is an application that's safe for your bottom. And then applying arnica cream and ointment, because arnica is just such a winner for general first aid, scrapes, bumps, bruises, that kind of thing. And those veins really do just feel like a bruise.
Yeah, the tenderness, it's just so, it can be very, very uncomfortable. So thankfully they do make creams and ointments and stuff that you can rub on beyond just taking it internally too. Other things that you can take internally, I think a lot of women are surprised when we recommend some supplements for this, because usually it is a topical kind of support, you think that way. But internally, taking 800 IUs of vitamin E can be incredibly supportive for your veins. And so that's one of those, like, if it is a struggle or if it is a consistent thing that has shown up, that's a really helpful thing to put under your belt for sure. B6 as well, nettle and oat straw tea. So again, you can grab those as just loose leaf herbs and make your own infusion. Very nourishing in many, many ways, but that is going to definitely help some liver support, some circulation support. It's wonderful. Tiff mentioned horse chestnut cream, like that is, you know, applied topically. You can also take capsules daily. And I was researching this for somebody, I forget who, recently, and was reading about the history of it, of horse chestnut being used for this way in particular. And it goes back and back and back and back. It was really fascinating reading about like Native Americans who were using something similar as support for this exact issue. I was like, that's really fascinating. So that one has the check mark of many, many years of use. Using evening primrose oil also can be incredibly helpful. 500 milligrams daily of that, or flax, can be super helpful. All of these things, you don't necessarily have to do all of them, right? But if you want to give yourself the best out to try to work beyond this and kind of live a life of freedom from this, all of these would be great to have on board, as well as vitamin C with bioflavonoids. That's going to really help you support that system, right, of circulation, of detox, of drainage, all of that kind of good stuff that we want to support in your body. So some vitamin E, some B6, those herbs, evening primrose oil, vitamin C, you are set for your day. There you go.
Yeah, and somebody messaged us recently and said that they had followed this protocol or something like it. They had followed some suggestion that we had shared on Instagram at one point, and they had varicose veins for like 3 pregnancies in a row, decided to try this for their 4th and had no vein issues at all, which is actually unheard of, because usually varicose veins get worse and worse in each pregnancy because they're kind of like, oh, I remember how to act up. I'll just do that again.
Yeah, so that's crazy, and so such a good reminder that being consistent with these things and willing to just put some extra support on board, especially internally, to help your system actually work the way it wants to and support the things that it's doing, so important, so helpful.
Yeah, and just to add another testimonial, somebody else sent us a message and said her sister started drinking nettle every single day and actually reversed her varicose veins. So at some point in her pregnancy, she had them. She started drinking nettle tea infusion every single day. And then for the rest of her pregnancy, did not have one.
Let's go.
That's cool.
That's amazing. I love that.
I love nettle.
And I want that for y'all also.
Okay, let's talk about hemorrhoids specifically. This is its own little category of special torture. because it's private.
Yeah, nobody really wants to talk about their hemorrhoids or their struggle with them. And on top of that, when you are struggling with it, it can be so painful, so uncomfortable, so itchy, so distracting. Fill in the blank with some not great word there. Not great.
Yeah, and I mean, primarily, we have to keep the bowels moving and soft and regular so that we're not causing more hemorrhoids or we're not exacerbating them. That is usually when they flare the most, is right after a difficult bowel movement. And so to avoid straining, make sure that you're on magnesium citrate, drinking 4 quarts of water, 35 grams of fiber, and that is happening every single day if you are prone to hemorrhoids or constipation or any combination thereof.
Yeah, it can flare up very easily if you are not well hydrated. And I think a lot of women start doing that themselves. They're like, okay, yeah, I do need to up my water. And that in and of itself is a huge help for this issue for sure.
And then everybody's pretty familiar with Tux pads, which are essentially witch hazel. And so you can use the Tux brand or you can make your own witch hazel pads and apply those topically. I mean, you can really just like wiggle it into your butt crack and leave it there. It should provide a lot of relief. But there is also a balm by Mother Love called Mother Love Roid Balm. It's a beautiful packaging. It's all organic. It's mostly herbs. That is a very soothing thing to swipe all over your butthole.
They make great stuff, and I just appreciate that you mentioned that it's beautiful packaging.
It just goes a long way.
It makes you feel better when you're wiping cream on your butthole.
It's just this one moment where you're like, I love an aesthetic thing, even if it has to go on my butthole.
That should be their new tagline.
I will let them know.
An aesthetic thing that you wipe on your butthole.
And a kind of an old wives' remedy is grated raw potato compress.
The potato situation is probably my favorite one when we suggest it because people's mouths lay agape.
Yeah, they're like, I'm sorry, what? Like a hash brown on my butthole? Kind of.
Basically, the potato itself, a raw cut up potato, can do an amazing job of pulling out all kinds of toxins, of inflammation, and so it can be an incredible use, both as a compress, as well as what I have seen other women do is actually cut it into like what looks like a thin French fry and insert it as a suppository. That is a special use for a potato.
Where do you watch these things happen? Since you said you've seen.
Well, seen in the metaphorical sense of being told, I tried this and it was helpful.
Yeah, okay. And then French fry.
French fry.
Butt.
French fry up your butt.
That's good that we can act like 12-year-olds while we talk about this serious medical problem.
It is very true. But that raw potato compress, actually cutting it and placing it on the hemorrhoid on that area can, and just kind of going to sleep or trying to forget the fact that you have a potato in your butt crack, can be incredibly helpful, and you will be amazed at what it looks like when it's done.
Yeah, this is for the woman who is like, I am completely miserable. I'm willing to try grated potato. And then you'll be like, well, this was stupid that I hesitated on treating myself to the potato this whole time.
It sounds terrible or gross, but it's actually really not. And I see women on Instagram sharing, which was encouraging because we've shared this a few times with other women going through mastitis, cutting up a raw potato like that and placing it on those like red inflamed spots and just keeping it in your bra to pull some of that stuff out. And it does. I don't know what it is fully about the starchiness of the potato that does it, but it's a good one to have on hand.
Yeah, just put that in your little natural medicine cabinet.
Keep a potato in there.
Okay, let's talk about postpartum recovery from some of these things, because that's when we often see everything get better except for hemorrhoids. Maybe they just continue on and has to do with so many factors, hormones, bowel movements, stress,
what your pelvic floor is doing, all kinds of stuff. The first kind of foundational piece is to continue as much as you possibly can with the supplements, with the comfort items that have been working for you. So don't lag on that. Don't let that go by the wayside. And then you can start adding in some things like postpartum sitz herbs, which you can use as like a soak or a compress or a rinse every single time you're using the bathroom. And that will help just bring all of that good nutritive, nourishing herbs to the location that it needs to go.
Yep. And you can use that postpartum sitz herbs in a peri bottle. You can put it on a pad. You can enjoy it in multiple ways.
Yes. And if you have a peri bottle, like from your birth already, keep that around, because if you are somebody who is prone to hemorrhoids or something like that, it can be a really helpful tool to utilize later with its splashing and spraying and such. Another super helpful tool, not just for the vagina, even though it's called vaginal steaming, incredibly helpful to bring some circulation, which we talked about being so important, to the area. So you can use that both sitting over more towards your vagina, or you can actually kind of shift your hips a little bit and get more of the butthole in there.
Shift your hips and just get the butthole into view.
Yeah. Yep.
Get the steam on your butthole.
But that is a very helpful piece of not only bringing the circulation, but all of those herbs to the location where healing needs to happen.
And that can be done outside of postpartum too. So if you're someone who's just kind of prone to hemorrhoids, you can absolutely utilize vaginal steam to bring some relief there and, you know, potentially some really long-term healing too.
Yeah. And if you are somebody who is dealing with it long-term, it may be helpful also to, like, you know, track what you're eating, track what's going on, and track how your hemorrhoids are doing, that kind of thing, so that you may be able to find some pieces of inflammation in your diet that your butthole doesn't like.
Absolutely. In fact, that would be a really great way to utilize one of our virtual consults in this one targeted way. Hey, I've been dealing with hemorrhoids for X amount of time. Sometimes they're better, sometimes they're worse. Can you give me all the natural things that I can try in order to kind of get this dialed in from the root cause? I would love to help somebody with that. That would be that would improve the quality of somebody's life tremendously to get some comfort in that area.
Yeah, so hopefully you're leaving this episode with a bunch of information, a bunch of things to try, a bunch of things to start implementing. Hopefully that doesn't feel too overwhelming either, right? Some general recommendations, some things that you can do physically, but also some things that you can put on the area, you can take as supplements, that kind of stuff, that hopefully will then give you some freedom and recovery from what you're dealing with.
Yep. I'm going to put the vaginal steaming episode we did in the show notes so people who want to know more about that can collect some information. And then I'll also put a link to our Amazon store where all the suggestions that we've given here today for the most part can be found, and you can have some of those pieces in your own home.
Let us know if you try the potato trick.
Yeah, any of the potato tricks that have been mentioned.
Would love it. Okay, we will catch you next week then.
Bye.